been a big week in 2016 politics. Yes, it's still over a year and a half away, but if you divide by weeks, it's just 72. So we want to get our weekly roundup.
I guess it's better than a daily roundup. We start with Hillary Clinton's first public response to her use of a personal email account for official State Department business. On Tuesday, she tried to dismiss the controversy.
Looking back, it would have been better if I'd simply used a second email account and carried a second phone. But at the time, this didn't seem like an issue.
But the questions have not gone away.
Also this week, some Republican hopefuls addressed critics of their decision to sign that open letter to Iran. So there's lots to talk about. Let's check in on the 2016 news of the week with Rick Klein, political director of ABC News. He's in Washington, D.C. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And Wesley Lowery, political reporter for The Washington Post, who joins us from St. Louis Public Radio. Wesley, a big welcome to you as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Wesley, let me start with you. Hillary Clinton said to be weeks away from announcing that she is running for president. Did she hurt her chances with her comments this week about the official emails that she sent from home and 30,000 personal ones that she deleted in her account?
I think that she certainly didn't help her chances. I think that Hillary, by and large, is still the foregone favorite to win the Democratic nomination. It still seems unlikely she's going to see a serious challenge in a primary. But the handling of this email situation only exacerbates some of her perceived weaknesses by people, especially moderate voters and certainly conservative and Republican-leading voters who might have questions about the Clintons, questions about secrecy, questions about how they operate. Again, this idea that there were 60,000 emails, and here you can have 30,000 of them. Don't worry. There's nothing governmental in those other 30,000 that I've deleted. Don't worry about it. Just trust me. That's not going to sit well with a lot of people who are skeptical of putting another Clinton in the White House.
Rick, what about your thoughts on that? And I am wondering also how many Americans are actually paying attention to this at this point.
Probably very few. I don't think anyone's going to make a decision a year and a half from now based on Hillary Clinton's private versus public email servers. But to Wesley's point, this confirms a lot of concerns that people have about the Clintons. And it's not just Republicans, not just moderates and independents. There are base Democrats who feel like Hillary Clinton waltzing to the nomination without serious contention is a major problem. And this does confirm suspicions that people have around it. The whole idea that she'd be saying, trust me on this, that it's the honor system regarding her email. It flies in the face of a lot of history, frankly, inside the Clinton world. And I think that you're seeing this angst among Democrats now to say, wait a second, maybe we should have other options out there, none of which is to say that she's not overwhelmingly likely to be the Democratic nominee or still probably a favorite to win the presidency. But it is an early concern. I think the fact that she found the need to address it means that she's gotten off the blocks a little bit faster than she would have anticipated, and it's not on the terms that she would have wanted.
Well, you have to wonder what it means when you make The Daily Show with something like this. So we should say Republican commentator Peggy Noonan wrote in the Wall Street Journal that Hillary already seems tired of the battle. That's an interesting observation. But John Stewart made fun of Hillary Clinton's claim that it was, as we just heard, inconvenient to carry two phones.
You are a person that wants to be president, which is a super inconvenient job. Did you know that everywhere you go, you not only have to carry a phone, but a briefcase filled with nuclear codes? So you can't suddenly go, briefcase, kind of a hassle to carry. Can I just put the codes on my phone? Because then halfway through your term, you butt dial a nuclear strike on Mexico.
Okay. And there were a lot of other jokes about nobody carries anything when they're running for president. It's like the queen, somebody else carries it for you. But so, Wesley, I'm wondering, does that kind of anoint her that you're on The Daily Show as a contender? Or are you seeing any other Democratic contenders, to Rick's point, who may see an opening here?
I mean, if you look at some of the movements of like Martin O'Malley from Maryland, I think that we are seeing some Democrats who are seeing this and eyeing this as a potential possibility to, one, create some space between them and Hillary Clinton, as well as maybe a way to test the waters into a race like this. But again, I do think that, to Rick's point earlier, there is some anxiety on the left among Democrats and Democratic operatives of what exactly is going to happen if Hillary can waltz the nomination. Not only should we maybe face some other options or look at some other options, but also maybe she needs to be tested and we need to get some of these little things out of the way
early. See how she responds, right?
Exactly. And we need to have these back and forths so that Republicans can't come with the haymakers come the general election. Let's work all this stuff out in-house. Let's fight inside the family before we ship you out to go have this fight nationally.
Well, let's talk about the Republicans, where the field is taking shape in some way. Iran became a big issue in the 2016 race this week when a lot of presidential contenders, Senator Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, Governors Bobby Jindal and Rick Perry signed on to this much criticized letter to Iranian leaders warning them that the next U.S. president could scrap any nuclear deal that President Obama reaches with Iran. And in Congress this week, Senator Rubio crossed swords with Secretary of State John Kerry about that deal. Let's listen to an exchange here, starting with Kerry.
Our negotiation is calculated to make sure they can't get a nuclear weapon. And it's really almost insulting that the presumption here is that we're going to negotiate something that allows them to get a nuclear weapon.
Well, I haven't discussed about the nuclear weapon. What I've discussed, and I'm not saying there's a grand bargain. What I'm saying is that I believe that our military strategy towards ISIS is influenced by our desire not to cross red lines that the
not
Iranians have
least.
About U.S. military no. presence in the region.
Absolutely not in the least.
Okay.
There's no consideration.
Well, let me ask, Rick, who benefits here from bringing up ISIS or Iran as an issue in this race?
I think this is a plus for the hawks in the field, the people that feel like there needs to be a more aggressive military action. I think when you have the Republicans squaring off against the president on issues of national security, it highlights some of the traditional strengths among Republicans. But there are some candidates in the race, notably Senator Rand Paul, who did in fact actually sign that letter, who come down a little bit differently when it comes to how we exert military force and U.S. foreign policy as it relates to that. Notable, though, I think the pushback to this particular letter. I think there's some signer's remorse among the senators, maybe not among the presidential candidates who are looking to become more hawkish, but I think they've been surprised by the blowback, surprised by the perception that going directly to the leader of Iran with this, to an Ayatollah, in an open letter is seen as undercutting the president, undercutting the administration.
Rick, I have to ask,
I don't
know
that they're prepared
for
that.
How could they be surprised by that?
It's so interesting. This came together very quickly. It was a project led by a freshman senator, Tom Cotton, last week. It was happening right before a snowstorm essentially shut down Washington. Senators rushing to leave town. I don't think they realized how this would go over. And I've talked to a bunch of Republican senators and some aides on this. And I think that no one wants their signature back necessarily. But they have questioned, for instance, should the open letter have been to the American people or to the president of the United States? Instead, it's the idea of reaching out directly to the head of state of a foreign government of where we have a very tense relationship, quite obviously, that has rubbed people as a misstep. And I think it's hurt Republicans in their efforts in Congress to turn back what the White House is doing, because the bipartisanship that has colored Iran negotiations so far and the pushback has been shattered by this.
Meanwhile, Wesley, a rivalry seemed to grow this week between a couple of the governors who are interested in the presidency, Jeb Bush and Scott Walker.
Exactly. And I think this is going to be a growing rivalry, at least a growing kind of sub-theme of the kind of emerging 2016 race, especially on the right. Here you have two, one former governor, one current governor, but two people who want to paint themselves as relative moderates who move conservatively as well, people who have track records of they can run out of managing states. And so we're seeing it in a lot of ways a big donor battle. I remember working on pieces a few months ago and years ago talking to former Mitt Romney donors, again, a former governor who can be both moderate but kind of tries to pitch himself as conservative. And many of the Romney donors were saying, well, Jeb's not in. We like that Walker guy. And so because of that, we've seen a big fight among the money men here or among the two candidates to appeal to these money men and get them into their camp sooner rather than later.
And who's winning?
Well, right now, Jeb has got a lot. He's wrapped up a lot of the money. But with that said, Scott Walker has picked up a few big and significant donors, and he's still working a lot of his Midwest connections as well. I mean, and so one thing about anything, any handicapping of a race, whether it be among, the horse race stuff, how Hillary handles her emails, or even where donors commit, we're still so far out from this race that anything could happen. Whether it be a gaffe or a misstatement or a mishandling of something could knock any of these candidates out of the race, yeah. And then all these money men are back up for grabs.
Well, I know both Jeremy and I want to make sure we get this in. The man who is president right now, President Obama, spoke on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night about the shooting of police officers in Ferguson, Missouri, during that protest over the resignation of the chief there. People wanted there to be more than a resignation. They wanted to have some more punishment. And here's President Obama speaking.
You know, I think that what had been happening in Ferguson was oppressive and objectionable. and was worthy of protest. But there was no excuse for criminal acts.
And Wesley, you're reporting from Ferguson. You were arrested there last year. We remember we spoke to you when you were covering the death of Michael Brown. In an election that will succeed the nation's first black presidency, how will race, what are you seeing? How will it shape this coming race?
I think it's a fascinating question. I don't know that race in the way we think of race is going to come up very often in 2016. What I do think is going to come up is going to be the legacy of race and the legacy of Ferguson, whether it be criminal justice issues, which we're likely going to see. We're already seeing a lot of legislation come up before this Congress, and that's going to continue. We're already seeing many of the candidates, as well as some of the rising stars in both the left and the right, try to embrace criminal justice issues as calling cards, as things they are going to focus on. We're seeing the Koch brothers partnering with liberal groups and conservative groups trying to push this type of action on these types of issues. And so I do think the issues of policing, of law enforcement, and certainly of criminal justice are going to be major issues here in 2016. Will race? I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be as explicitly discussed.
Wesley Lowery, political reporter for The Washington Post in St. Louis for us. Wesley, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And Rick Klein, political director of ABC News in Washington. Rick, thanks as always to you.
And thank you.